Today's episode of Talking Games is brought to you by Jackbox. Get 5 hilarious party games in the Jackbox Party Pack from the creators of You Don't Know Jack. Now on Xbox One, PS3, PS4, Steam, and more. Go to jackboxgames.com for more info. Hey, Kellen.
Hey, Tim.
Did you ever play any You Don't Know Jack? I played some on the PlayStation, I remember.
I remember playing some way back in the day. I don't even think it was on the PlayStation. I think it was on, on the PC.
Oh.
Old school PC style.
It's good stuff, and they have some of our friends writing over there.
Obviously, very talented, very funny, smart people working there at the Jackbox Studios.
And now, Kellen, how do we get these fine sponsors?
Well, we happen to be part of the Chicago Podcasting Co-op, which is a cooperative of entertainers and service providers here in the Chicagoland area who have decided to team up to give you some good services and good entertainment for your ear holes. Find out more at ChicagoPodcastCoop.com or follow us at Twitter at ChiPodCoop.
And every time we like to recommend one of our fellow podcasts that is in the co-op. And today I want to recommend One Shot.
Yeah, let's get those One Shot guys a little break, right?
Right.
It was the Star Wars celebration this weekend. I guess this Star Wars thing is sticking around, folks.
You think so?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you do anything to celebrate?
I tried to find a leaked copy of that Rogue One trailer online.
Right?
I got up at 5 o'clock on Friday and started watching the stream because I wanted to watch Mark Hamill do his he did like an hour long panel discussion. It was just him.
Wow.
But it wasn't Mark Hamill. It was the Joker doing it. It was the Batman animated series Joker doing it. Now, One Shot doesn't just do Star Wars. They do all types of role-playing. Campaign is the podcast that does particularly Star Wars. But One Shot is a fantastic podcast with a lot of funny and talented people from the Chicagoland area as well on that show.
We've had James D'Amato on. Mm-hmm. We should have Kat Cool on.
We should have Kat on. Kat is really fantastic playing Overwatch with. She's great.
What else do we need to talk about? Reviews.
Reviews. As always, folks, please go on iTunes and leave us a review. Our pack with you is whatever you write, we will read. So please give us something. We need
and
something.
Don't be dicks about that.
Yeah.
Don't make us say weird stuff. I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Kellen is saying have us say weird stuff. I'm saying, honestly, be careful.
If someone writes something weird, I will read it.
Okay. I'm not saying like a diary entry weird. I'm saying like let's skip this.
Okay, let's skip this.
Give us 5 stars. Throw us a review. That helps us out.
Yeah. And lastly, please go over to patreon.com.
That's
and
right.
Help the Nerdalogs, people who gave us our start here on the podcasting network. Give them a couple of dollars. They're making great things here in the internet and here in the meat space, as we like to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pick up a copy of Fisticuffs.
Yeah, it's a great game.
Here's the show. And hello, everybody. It's Clayton here, but you're probably asking yourself, wait, just Clayton? Fuck no, dude. This is Talking Games. I'm one of the, there's like a million people in this room, but it's Clayton Margeson here, but to my left, kind of, sort of.
So Kellen Tarrant, I got confused because I'm thinking of my right, your left. So
right.
To Clayton's right, to my left would be,
I guess, just across from Clayton,
yeah.
Tim Dunn. Hi, everybody.
That's
and
right.
Back
we're talking
across
perspectives
from me.
Today. Everyone's got a different perspective. Sometimes it's left, sometimes it's right.
Clayton,
sometimes.
What would be an episode where it's just you? Like, what would that be like? Give me a little preview.
Okay, here we go. It's like, all right, folks. So, Suikoden in 2, we open Smash Cut 2.
Wait, it's like a screenplay of a video game?
Yeah, exterior, army camp, night. A lone boy walks into a tent. No, and everyone's like, what the fuck? And that's how that would be how the episode starts.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then I'd launch quickly into my, as we all know, maybe the best Patreon impression on the planet. Didn't get to do it today. Didn't make it on time.
Right.
Didn't make it on time, unfortunately.
But we have a guest today.
And that's my buddy, Peter Durkin. Thank you for joining
Pete.
Us, buddy.
Hey, guys.
Hey!
That's our clap.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for having me. Excited to be a person talking games with you guys.
Of course.
Very good. Very good.
Pete, you told me you binged episodes of our show today. We always start out the same way. That is, what are we playing? Are you a regular gamer?
I am a regular gamer, and that is increasing frequency. My wife is out of town for the summer performing at a theater, so I have unlimited gameplay time.
Sure.
So I can just do whatever I want. Carol is my wife, and she thinks it's really lame Guitar Hero, but I busted out Guitar Hero Van Halen.
Oh, very classic.
Which,
classic.
You know, it's got a little Weezer and Blink-182 and Van Halen, and nice. So doing that. I think the reason I'm a guest today, the subject matter, I have a system that plays Nintendo, Genesis, and Super Nintendo, and my wife, my beautiful wife, got me Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time.
Classic.
Oh, man.
And Super Mario World, and I grew up without a Super Nintendo. I was a Genesis kid, so I've been playing those two like nonstop and just reliving missed out fourth grade days.
Man, oh, man. To not have a Super Nintendo. I remember I had Genesis, and I was, like, resistant to the Super Nintendo. When I got it, was like, yo, what the fuck? What is this?
There's blew some your amazing goddamn stuff mind. On here. Right.
You know, literally, my parents made the choice. They were like, it was like, we were going to get one. They went the Genesis route, so we were Genesis kids growing up.
Sure.
Yeah, totally fair. Totally
but that was
fair.
The fun
play
of
some
youth
Altered
to, like,
Beast. Mm-hmm. Yeah, fuck yeah.
That was the fun of, like, going Echo over to each other's houses, though, when you were in grade school, because, like, some kids would have the Super Nintendo, and
sure.
be like, what are we, oh my god, Mario Kart, I can't believe this game is so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, come over to here, and I've got Mortal Kombat.
Were there a lot of multiplayer games for the Genesis?
You could play X-Men.
X-Men, there you go.
That
you go.
Was a great
oh,
game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's a hot take, because I had Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Hyperstone Heist,
I still
think that was superior to Turtles in Time.
Blasphemy!
It's basically the same game with little differences. Like, you don't fight the Rat King in Genesis, you fight Leatherhead.
Okay. That sounds like a horror movie.
Yeah, right? That's Leatherface.
Leatherface, that's right.
Wait, Leatherface from Texas Chainsaw?
There it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, you fight Leatherface from Texas Chainsaw. Weirdly enough, he fought the Ninja Turtles.
That's an IDK comic book waiting to happen.
Oh, man.
You had Sonic 2, where second player could be Tails, which was great.
Oh, yeah.
I had a little brother, so he could die as Tails and not cause me any, like,
sure,
harm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that was good.
Are you a
NBA Jam?
Oh, there you go. There you go. Okay.
In the debate of Super Mario 3 or Super Mario World, do you have a preference there?
Right now it's still going to be 3. I'm so new to Super Mario World. I'm just getting used to, like, the Yoshi control and everything like that. Like, I'm a complete novice as it comes to Super Mario World.
Yeah. So great.
But you know what? I mean, I love Super Mario 3. It's definitely the best of the three, but I have a real soft spot for 2.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I see that.
That's a rare opinion, but
I mean, it's just, you know, it's the way you grew up with it. Like, we had 1 and 2.
We were a Birdo family, you know?
we didn't get 3 until very, like, almost the Genesis came out, I feel like. And then, so we were accustomed to 2 and how difficult that game is.
Well, before we jump deeper into classic gaming, Clayton, what have you been playing this week?
Okay, so I've been playing some Overwatch, and I also played Inside.
Oh, right. Do you finished
it?
I
just
though.
Finished
yeah.
it. Is it as good as your facial expressions are leading us to believe?
Like, there's so much that I would spoil just by telling you the craziest fucking shit happens in that game.
Better than what's their last game?
Limbo. I think so.
Okay.
Mostly because a it feels more like there's kind of something of a story, whereas
Limbo was just kind of like an experience.
It was a beautiful aesthetic and like,
but it's great and everyone should play it. And truly, like, even if you're like halfway through and you're like, I don't know, it's like, keep playing, because I cannot get into any details. I won't get into any details this time, but it gets so insane and it's totally worth playing.
Okay.
And this is not like a graphics powerhouse. Like, most people would be able to play it, right?
No. Okay. It's definitely like has that feel of an indie game.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. It's like fucking really great level and puzzle design too. Like stuff that is so clever and so interesting, and yet at the same time, not that like, you know, like, oh, how the fuck was I supposed to figure this out? Like I never had to look up a puzzle until there's like a secret alternate ending. I will spoil that much. Only because it's not part of the main storyline at all.
All right.
You have to like, you basically have to look up how to do it because I never would have figured it out.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. It uses like their checkpoint system and stuff like that.
Oh, so, interesting.
Yeah.
Kellen, what you been playing?
I finished Stick of Truth. Really enjoyed Stick of Truth.
Oh, it's great.
So good. I'm sad that I'm done with it because I took my save and I kept playing, trying to find other quests, being like, okay, cool, I can keep going. And then I was like, boy, there's not much else for me to do right now. Like I played the shit out of the game.
Yeah.
So Fractured But Whole, December, very excited for that.
I found the gameplay toward the end to get a little repetitive. Did you feel that same way?
Oh, I mean, I was so over level. There was nothing that was going to scare me. I mean, when Chef shows up, I was like, this is easy. Definitely repetitive.
The Chef fight is
so good. The Chef fight is fantastic. But at the same time, I played it in such odd spurts that it was like, anytime I picked it back up, I was like, right, how do I do this again? Oh, right. Okay, cool. I never used Cartman as an ally. It was always Butters and me. I always loved playing with Butters.
Yeah.
That was good. And then kind of gotten back into Overwatch, but there's also something where it feels like since competitive mode has come out, like I'm not as into playing it because I've had such bad experiences playing it. So I'm looking forward to something new. I queued up The Last of Us, so my girlfriend's out of town this week, so I
think it's time to cry.
It might be time to cry while playing video games, so she doesn't laugh at me and say, you know, what is your son going to think of you when he knows he is what you're doing?
Doug, you just text or call me. I don't care what time it is.
Is it going to help that it's a little girl and not a little boy?
It might help. Okay. Also, the fact, like, Dennis is 3 and what, Ellie's like, what, 9?
Ellie's like 13,
that might help a little bit more. So what's also positive is I'm introduced Dennis to Star Wars Rebels this weekend.
Oh, sure.
And he fucking loves it.
That's a great show.
So I'm like, okay, cool. I can kind of, maybe I could think anytime I get sad, it's like, yeah, but he sat on my lap and we watched Rebels and he was like in love with that. So I also taught him how to sing the Ghostbusters theme song this weekend, which was good.
Oh,
so, yeah. Tim, what have you been playing?
So on sale, I bought, and I always get the name wrong because I want to say, Let's All Go to the Rapture.
Let's all go to the rapture. Let's all go to the rapture.
What is it?
But we got to pay royalties. If we sing too
much. Everyone's gone.
Gone to the rapture. For people
Walking
who haven't
simulator.
Yes. For people who haven't heard of this game, there's
everybody's gone to the rapture.
I'm gonna let this play out.
That's the way you kill one of my bits. Tim, how dare you? That's Van Helsing to my Dracula bit.
For people that haven't played this, there's no gameplay, there's no fighting, there's nothing like that. You are just walking around, experiencing this story. I feel like it's almost here's my
and is the premise that the rapture has happened and
yes,
you're
it starts
yeah.
after the oh, rapture gosh. Has happened. Mm-hmm. And here's the issue. I want to spoil it because it's an older game
now. Spoil
but
it all
also,
our face.
With wanna, these I'm, games, that's all it is. It's just story. So you start out after the rapture has happened, and you're following this like little orb of light around this English town, which was clearly where the orb
the
like
orb
landed.
To
it's an alien.
What?
The alien
well,
is like this.
Okay. What? All right, everybody. That's a wrap on top of talking games. Whoop. I quit if that's fucking... Is that real?
Yeah.
Is it an alien?
Yeah.
That fucking...
So,
that's
if you've ever...
Jesus Christ.
No, it's not Jesus Christ.
Okay.
They is it obvious in the beginning it's an alien? It's like,
no.
Earthling,
no.
I am Quasar from the planet...
No, that's the reveal. I'm
I mean,
sure,
that would be
yeah.
wonderful.
Yeah.
Here's what you... And I've not even finished it. It's hard to get through, if I'm being honest. And... Okay. It's a lot like, if you've ever listened to the podcast, The Message. The Message is about this soundbite that comes to Earth.
Oh, so
and
good.
It is alien in origin.
Don't
and
spoil The Message, though. The Message is so good, though. Spoil
okay.
this game, don't spoil The
I
Message.
I won't spoil The Message. Here in the game, this light thing infects human beings all across the Earth, and it causes brain hemorrhages, and it just kills people. So I think it's like trying to communicate with us. But then through doing that, it kills all of us. And I think what this game is like the lights bouncing around this town being like, look, this was not my fault. And I want to show you, oh, I did not mean to kill these people.
So that's what the rapture is?
Yes, I think so.
Oh, so it's not like, oh, yeah. And by the way, I didn't kill everyone because everyone else went to heaven. Like, that's...
I mean, there's no sort of Christian ideology in the game.
Okay, so it's not the biblical rapture.
No.
Okay.
It's just, I think it's just this alien, like, apologizing and trying to plead its case to you. Man, and I don't even know what I am in this game, because I look down and I don't see feet.
Okay.
Oh, maybe you're a beam of light, too.
I could be.
Yeah, maybe, you're the cop alien showed up like, oh, that's it there, McCluskey. You're done. You're going back to space.
An Irish alien cop.
I mean, it's an English town.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So I don't.
It's just a Scottish alien. Or Irish.
Irish. That was definitely not a Scottish brogue.
It's either an alien.
Come back to me for my Scottish brogue.
We'll definitely be coming back to you.
It's either an alien or it is someone the alien is hoping would show up and witness all this. Sure. I don't even know.
Jesus Christ.
I got to finish this game. It's nuts. It's a lot different from Super Mario 3, I guess is what I'm saying.
Well, good segue. Interesting take.
Wait, there's one other thing. Okay. Yeah, I did want to talk about. It's this weird, like, half civilization, half, like, I don't even know, 80 days thing.
Ooh.
Guys, when I look at the app, the name of it is too long. It just says KODP.
Oh, boy.
Knights of something. Let's take a look here.
DP.
Knights of...
Careful. Nope. Oh, God damn it. Knights of Dragon Pass. I don't know.
Knights of Dragon Pass.
I'll have a longer review of that one next week. But
like that, like Dragons of Autumn, Spring, or whatever the shit that book series was. That was like a companion to Dungeons & Dragons. Don't worry about it. Come back to me for my Scottish program.
Let's just say I have an iOS recommendation for next week. Real quick.
Knights of Double Penetration.
Yes. Nope. I'm not saying that's what it's called.
It is a dark and stormy time in the land of Gooya. Knights of Double Penetration rule the land.
Hey, guys, Pokemon Go's still around. Should we talk about that real quick?
Yes, we should.
Durkin, you've run into some people playing Pokemon Go.
Yeah, so I went to visit my wife at the theater that she's working in Colorado in a very small town, very remote up in the mountains, and... as I met a couple of the people that she's working with, they were like, hey, nice to meet you. We're going off to find Pokemon. And this is a town that has a wooden plank, like, walkway.
Right.
And these kids were like, hey, we're going out. You want to come with? We're going to try and find some more Pokemon. And I'm really surprised. Like, there's mountains and lakes and hikes you can do. And these kids are like, no, I got to go find Charizard.
Yeah, we did that for the first month we were here.
Yeah.
We're bored of that. Right?
Yeah.
So it feels like people are still playing. Am I right in thinking this?
Tim, I'm gonna tell you a number that I found out today.
Oh, boy.
How much money do you think Pokemon Go makes in microtransactions each day?
Oh, every day? I'm going to say $4 million.
$0.
Actually, it makes $1.6
million.
$1.6 million a day.
Okay, and it's been out for what, roughly a week and a half?
Week and a half, yeah. Came out last...
It's pretty good for a free free-to-play game.
Yeah, pretty crazy. Certainly some controversy still. There are some people who are saying, like, oh, well, look at... people were putting up lures in children's hospitals, so kids who are in the hospital beds can be catching more Pokemon. But then you think about how greedy everyone is about catching Pokemon, so people are going into children's hospitals.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. People are being shot. Open carry and stand your ground laws in Florida are calling into question people who are walking into...
Like wandering
into what they think is just an open field and is private property, and someone says, why are there 9 children looking at their phone? Well, I might as well shoot them.
You heard about the guys who walked over the cliff in California?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
right.
Yes.
Saw pictures from the car accident, the head-on
collision. Oh, I wasn't aware of that
because
one.
Someone was looking at their Pokemon.
Yeah. So,
this is hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's not funny that people are dying.
No. Yeah.
But it's kind of amazing, right?
Wait,
it's
those guys that fell off
nuts.
The cliff, did they die?
They did not die. They were... pretty badly injured.
Yeah, I don't think anyone has died yet.
People are getting robbed. I know, like,
people are getting shot. People are getting robbed.
Yeah.
Okay, no one's died, so it's extra funny.
But is this? Will it go the way of like Candy Crush, where that was like the rage?
There's no way. I mean, I don't think my Facebook feed was ever so big on Polygon and Kotaku and CNN talking about Candy Crush.
Colbert. Yeah. Like every part of pop culture.
Even the jokes about Pokemon Go have become old and stale.
Oh, absolutely. Right? Yeah.
I mean, it shows how quickly the news
photographing objects and being like, hey, I found a Pokemon. Like, I've already seen that joke a thousand times now. Yeah. So
just stop doing the memes. I will say this. I had heard the rumors that there were Pokemon in the Holocaust Museum.
No.
Yes, I did hear about this.
Take a wild guess. What Pokemon would be...
Ghastly.
Yep.
Oh, fuck. I can't believe that's right.
Yep.
What?
Ghastly.
What? Ghastly being a ghost Pokemon.
A poison ghost Pokemon.
No.
Look it up, buddy.
No.
Look
he's like a purple like gas cloud.
Yeah,
isn't
a big purple gas cloud with some
fucking
big buck teeth.
Jesus
now
Christ.
I completely have no idea what's going on with this Pokemon. Now, are people placing the Pokemon
No.
The company,
The company is, and there might be an algorithm that does it, but let me tell you what that is. That is the coincidence of that happening are too unreal for that to be an
that algorithm,
that
has gained sentience and a sense of humor.
That's when we knew the robots had turned alive because they made that joke.
Jeez, yeah, like a weird like wink and nod at the camera. It's like, what are you doing? Wait, no, we didn't want this joke.
No, get it?
It's
get
like,
it?
Hey, guys. Yeah. It's like, no.
And then the computer's like, no, but it didn't happen, though, so it's okay.
Oh, God. It's like that when they had that, like, little...
Humor should have no rules.
I'm not PC, okay? Stop trying to censor me.
I'm really the victim here because I'm being censored. I'm the one who should feel like sorry for themselves.
All robot lives matter.
I don't even know. Oh, God. That's fucking terrible. Yeah, like, why?
There's your next idea for a podcast. This robot who is fighting censorship.
Topical comedy robot.
I mean, who knows, though? I'm like, you... It's impossible for me to really believe that this is going to last.
Yeah, I agree with that. And there's also, when you say $1.6 million, we're not even talking about, there's nothing to buy except more bullshit that like you could get if you just kept playing the game long enough.
It's also $1.6 million just in the U.S. because it released in Europe last week and Canada today. Japan, which Pokemon is even bigger in Japan.
Yeah.
Oh, their it hasn't launched in Japan yet?
It's not released in Japan because they used the U.S. as a test market.
Oh, gosh.
You know, because they didn't... The thing that's crazy about this game is they're like, there's no way it's going to be this big. So we're going to wait till the real market, Japan, and we're going to figure out all the server issues. Nope. So Japan's going to get the better version of the game.
And I would be interested to see the numbers on, like, who is this popular with? Because Pokemon was really... the tail end of our childhoods, and then we sort of were out of that age range. So it's really like adult people are in Pokemon. If it really gets hot with like children these days, like they're gonna that could be their new base and have like a whole new renaissance for Pokemon.
I think it already has kind of caught on just because like it's everywhere. I've heard that like a lot of high school students are now playing this.
But then that also like it depends on I mean, this ties into how old should you be when you have a cell phone with like a data network and everything
that.
Yeah. I mean, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine back in Oregon, and she is a video game developer, and she was like, she's very pro Pokemon Go because she's like, yeah, this is not, because my argument is like, well, this is going to be bad for the gaming industry because the same thing with any sort of freemium game. And she said, sure, but think about a game like Candy Crush where there's nothing really related to it. No one's going to go play Tetris after Candy Crush.
Right.
But if people like Pokemon so much, they can go buy a 3DS or they can go buy those games and they will then become gamers because they want something more. And
that's true.
Well, fuck, man.
And like, in those games, it's like, what a strong entry point to be like, I have a Pokemon that I really like and I just want to catch them.
Yeah.
And that's the gateway drug right there. That's huge.
I mean, I do love that people have to walk to get the Pokemon, which is a great thing for the gaming community, like to actually get people out in physical. I think that's a great thing about it, but... I don't know.
Disagree.
I don't
strong get... disagree. No, I'm
just but also, like, if this game, the only reason we're talking about the accidents and things of this nature is how widespread popular it is. If had only been popular with a, you know, if it hadn't been quite so widely popular, that wouldn't be such a problem.
True. Yeah. Very true.
And it would you would see it on
we wouldn't know about it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It would be on random subreddits where you would kind of see like, oh, this is kind of happening, but this is everywhere.
You know what though? You guys brought it up on the last episode of this podcast about like businesses.
Hey, thanks for
like,
listening, buddy.
Yes, of
hey,
course. Thank you. Businesses like mm-hmm. buying
yeah,
a
right.
certain Pokemon.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
Yeah,
too.
No,
that
I agree with that.
I mean, that's a genius idea. Or like if the art museum or something
sure.
put. Yeah. Put a Pokemon Go like deep into the museum. That would be a phenomenal thing.
Go on Yelp tonight and start looking up restaurants. And restaurants that have Pokestops on them will have it listed as Pokestop.
Oh my gosh!
Lisa already. And I found our favorite new bar playing Pokemon. Or well, she was playing Pokemon Go. I took it off my phone because I can't do it.
Good. Tim was playing Knights of Double Penetration.
Okay,
Knights of Double Penetration.
Okay, while we're talking
Tales
about
Dark Slime.
While we're talking about this ridiculous retro phase we're in right now.
Tales of Dark Slime?
Yeah. Focus.
Okay.
Everyone focus up.
Chapter 69.
I think this ties into our topic today. Let me do a little segue as well. I've had a lot of friends put up photos of them at this new Saved by the Bell diner here in Chicago. I think our generation is in a, I don't know, a nostalgia craze. It's not new.
Talking about Tim, there's not like people are getting shot in the street that we want to put our heads in the sand so we don't have to think about how old we're getting.
Right. So Nintendo released this Nintendo thing.
Yeah.
Nintendo Classic.
Nintendo Classic. It's very tiny, and it includes, what is it, 30?
30 games.
30 games.
30 games. And
ooh, notes.
I messaged one of my friends who I wouldn't call him stuck in the past as far as video games, no. but he's nodding. He's saying he is stuck in the past.
100%. Mm-hmm.
Durgan, starting out, why? What's the hesitation, except for Guitar Hero, that keeps you out of this modern generation of
okay.
games?
Okay. Back in the day, let's go back.
Okay.
We had the Atari upstairs at Grandma's house, mm-hmm. and then we graduated to Nintendo, then Genesis, and we were sort of in a holding pattern until Nintendo 64 in the Durkin household. And when the PlayStation started coming out, which was the new big thing, I remember my buddy Sean had PlayStation. He had Resident Evil. First off, that game scared the shit out
Resident
of me.
Evil deep within the tales.
But the other thing was, all the games were on CD. And my parents, I love them. They raised us to be not thrifty, but like
okay.
if you had to take care of everything.
Yeah.
And CDs were just like, we cannot invest $60 per game mm-hmm. because we'll scratch the games. And we were just like, no, do not. The sons of my mother and father were like, do not buy us the PlayStation. We will ruin our games. And like,
interesting.
That is very obedient.
It's weird to think about how we all used to think CDs were really delicate.
Yes.
And now it's like, whatever, fucking CDs.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But I mean, I couldn't imagine like, oh my God, if I broke a mm-hmm. game cartridge, that's $60 uh-huh. and I'm never going to see that again. So it was like, just very hesitant to get into the CD thing. And then as you know, the gaming industry blew up, and once the controller really changed, I was out in the dark. Like
oh.
the two joysticks, the multiple
two
buttons,
joysticks, right?
Even just the buttons that have mm-hmm. like a square and a triangle and an X, I was like, which one's A? Like, so. But along with that, like, I still have my original Nintendo. I still have my original Sega Genesis. I have all the original controllers. Like, we just took very good care of that stuff, and it's just hard to replace those classics. So, you know.
Yeah. This is not a uncommon thing nowadays. There's plenty of retro game shops that just make a living selling old video games.
For sure. Yes,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And there's a huge market for it, too, in terms of people wanting to have certain cartridges.
Oh,
or even rarely released games. What the Nintendo... there was a game that was that was finally found after like years and years and years of like the... Nintendo had a contest back in the 80s where it was like Super Mario Brothers, and it was like I wish I had...
Was it the competition
the
from
competition.
The Wizard?
Exactly. Well, it was somewhat like that, but right. It was like, play these three games, and if you have a good score, take a photo of it, and you'll be the champion. And there were, like, same with the Legends of Zelda, the original cartridge, it was gold as well.
Okay.
And the winners of this contest got a gold one, and one of them surfaced on eBay and like sold for $100,000.
Yeah,
they're so rare.
The video game nerd does a whole episode where he was like, he bought like 100 games blind, just hoping that it was in there, and it was, but it wasn't like the original one. It was like somebody fabricated one.
Yeah. The modding of old NES games is incredible as well. Because you can take those cartridges apart, and if you know anything about soldering, you can start modding and doing other crazy stuff.
The other thing about it, too, is like I loved playing video games growing up, but... And I loved, like, The Legend of Zelda, but once the world, like, Ocarina of Time, I remember being obsessed with it and playing it all the time, but then, like, it was almost like my mind couldn't handle how big the universe was in the game. It was like, there's too many side plots and things like that. Like, I don't know what my objective is, and it would become, like, too much. Like, I loved GoldenEye because it was like, do this, this, and this.
Just
in
a
this
level.
Sure.
Yeah, right.
Murder as many people as you need to. Save the scientist, you know? But Ocarina of Time was like, smash this pot, find this chicken, you know, like all this stuff. And it was like, you can do all these other things. And it just became too much for me. Now the games like Skyrim and things like that are so daunting to me. Like that you don't even, like the game you were just talking about, like you don't even need to do anything. Like that, that sort of terrifies me. Like I'm just going to live in this game for 6 hours. Like,
yeah, I mean, the things we play nowadays, some of them are, by the standards of, like, SNES and Genesis, are unrecognizable as games. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, they are on a TV and you use a controller, but beyond that, like...
Yeah.
I can't imagine playing, like, you know, Metal Warriors or Chrono Trigger and then playing that Dragon Cancer.
No. And it's interesting because you can see that, obviously, there is a desire for retro gaming... When you look at games like Shovel Knight, which is such a slam dunk of a classic game.
So good.
And then you have games like Mighty Number 9, which is imagine a wet, drunk, diarrhea shitting the bed, and then that has a baby with a dead pigeon on the ground. You know? Like, I feel like there's a lot of people who are capitalizing
on... Is that wrong?
On,
I've seen
How about all the beercades? Like, all those places that are just like... That have popped up and are packed every single night. And it's like the generation that's there, we didn't have those arcades. Those were almost already on the out by the time we started coming of age where you could play shit like that. Now those places are packed every Friday and Saturday night. And what a smart business model is for all those bars.
Like, it's great.
I wonder if a little bit of it is sort of like the nostalgia for the time you didn't quite get like the experience you didn't quite get. It does remind me a little bit of like I was recently this is a little bit personal, but my grandmother died and it was sad or whatever. I didn't feel too bad about it because I didn't
have
a good
feelings.
No, I was unaware of that. Okay. I thought he just got high all the time.
These are not mutually exclusive. I was like talking about it. I was like, you know, the thing is, it's fine. I'm not even like sad that she's gone. It's it's more sad like, oh, yeah, I'm never going to get that relationship
that
you wanted. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's never going to happen. And this is like, I feel like this wave of new, like neo nostalgia kind of comes from a similar thing of like, you, even if you had been in the arcades, you wouldn't have gotten this. You know, like, you wouldn't have gotten this kind of fun, this kind of camaraderie that you see nowadays.
Because you would have been a kid, and you would have been able to drink and hang out as an adult with your adult experiences, but also still be able to live the way of acting like a child.
Oh, exactly. In those places, if you had to put quarters in those machines, those bars would be a lot less open.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And yeah, that's the
fact
like,
that you could go in and be like, fuck it, I can die 1,000 times and keep playing X-Men. Like,
two more shots of Jameson plays. Yeah.
And like playing Shovel Knight, I'm like, this is a great game, but this is also a really good game. And it's the kind of game that like we didn't get in like a lot of the Mega Man games. Like, you know, we did get it in a couple.
Sure.
But, you know, it's like even now you go back and you're like, well, this is fucking unfair. I don't even want to play these games. Yeah. It's that nostalgia for that thing that doesn't quite exist, but it scratches that need. It tickles that part of your brain. And I wonder, that's what makes me wonder if this new Nintendo is going to be as big a hit. Because it's just those classic games.
Well, I think what Nintendo is doing is very smart. They're seeing what happens with their virtual console. They're looking at people who are buying Wiis or Wii Us or their 3DSs, and they're saying, no one's buying new software. They're all buying stuff on the virtual console. So what if we just put a system out there that already had all this stuff loaded in? I mean, because it's not like it's not like the actual system itself is going to cost a lot of money. What, it's 19? No.
$60. Plus you
that's
get one bad. Controller.
Jesus Christ, that is really good.
Do we have a release date?
Yeah, I got it right here. Let me skim, though.
Durkin, by the way, brought incredible notes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Better than we've had on this
November
show.
November 11th, just in time
Christmas.
For
Christmas.
And if you bought all of these games, I believe, on the virtual console, it would cost $130.
Wow.
So it makes sense. And again, like, that's where Nintendo is smart. They're saying, we have the properties to do this.
Yeah.
It's a bundle. And I was doing some research about this as well. This is not emulators. This is the sort of proprietary sort of like technology. So you're not playing an emulator.
You're not breaking any laws.
No, no, no. It's all there. They have the actual thing. Because they were breaking down, I think it was like a New York Times article saying like the way that the virtual console works, it's not just an emulator. It is literally like there is a system that's allowing the old... Because they were kind of breaking down why Super NES games can't work on the 3DS.
Oh, are you saying it has the hardware to play these
It games? Has the hardware to play it, but it plays it virtually.
So
as opposed to an emulator, which is just emulating the actual thing, it is literally saying, okay, where you're going to... close your eyes and imagine that scene in Hackers where you're floating through space and there's an NES in red lights right there in the center.
Okay. All right.
That's what it's doing.
All right.
And so you have to pull out the digital cart and you go on it and you put it back in.
Is Angelina Jolie in Hackers?
Of course she is.
Okay, right. She's got the like pixie cut.
Exactly.
And she's actually the salesperson for this.
Oh, is that right?
No.
Oh, yeah. When you load it up and you're selecting the screen, she's like, "Hello." You know? And if you do the Konami code, then water goes on her and you can kind of see her wet t-shirt.
Wait. Then what's the Robert Redford movie with Hackers? What am I thinking of?
That, you're thinking Sleepers?
Sure.
I think Dan Aykroyd.
That's
right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Durkin, you've looked at the games that are included in this thing. Are there, what ones do you recognize or enjoy?
Oh, so let's dig into this a little bit first.
Sure.
Because I can see the benefit of this coming out, but in reading the details about it, and being such a nostalgia gamer, I'm like, no, this is not good.
Oh,
really?
Because, what? Yes, because
the plot thickens.
You get 30 games, and that's it. You don't if it's not
we
on the list.
We can't buy anymore.
There's no way connected to the internet too.
And they did the shady thing where they give you one controller, so you're gonna have to buy the second controller. Yeah.
Second controller.
Now the
19?
Great thing of now the couple games that they do have on there, I'm like, yes, a lot of these are great and essential, and that's awesome that they're all together. And the fact that it has an HDMI cord, that is a big
that's
deal
great.
To me because that's a solid connection. You don't have to worry about. You know, the red going in the red. And
the that's another $20-$30 on top of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So that, I mean, it is a good deal, but like, and here's a couple of the games. Bubble Bobbles on there.
Yep.
Yeah, classic.
Excite Bike.
Fun.
All the Mario Brothers, 1, 2, and 3.
Do you have the secret levels?
No, it's got Mario Brothers, and then it has Super Mario Brothers, and Super Mario Brothers 2, and Super Mario Brothers 3. So I'm thinking maybe that Mario Brothers is the secret levels, but I'm not sure.
That Mario Brothers might be the pipe minigame in Mario Brothers
3. Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's got Tecmo Bowl, which I think is really awesome.
Very nice.
Legend of Zelda and Zelda 2, Link to the Past.
Adventure of Link.
Okay, I was like, well, that's a Super Nintendo game.
That would be amazing. I'm way better than Adventure of Link because Adventure of Link.
And then
really
a couple
hard.
Things on here that I never played growing up because, you know, it was like you had your games and the couple of friends, like Castlevania 2, the Kirby game, Dr. Mario.
Yeah.
Donkey Kong Jr.
Ooh, Ninja Gaiden.
Yep,
yeah. I'm looking at the list.
Sorry. Yeah. Odd one, they have Super C instead of Contra, which
I don't know the difference there.
Super C is very difficult compared to Contra. Like regular Contra, very fun. You can play it for hours. I feel like Super C is very difficult.
Okay. I wonder if that's a Konami having the rights to... Because Konami has
The rights to Contra? Oh.
Contra and Castlevania.
What are they doing with
those Capcom's rights? Got Castlevania, right? What am I wrong?
Capcom, I think, has Castlevania. Yeah,
I wonder if, why would you put, why Castlevania 2? Why not Castlevania?
Well, they have Castlevania, but I know that Castlevania, here, so it's Bubble
Simon's
Bobble,
Quest,
Castlevania,
right?
Castlevania 2, Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong Jr., Double Dragon 2. But not Double Dragon.
Mm. It's weird.
Dr. Mario, Final Fantasy, Galaga, Ghosts and Goblins. Kid
Ghosts and Goblins is so fucking hard.
Mega Man 2, Metroid.
Game.
So a lot of good. I mean, it's a lot of good games. Yeah. If you're just buying it to relive a little bit of nostalgia, it will satisfy a lot of people. I hope it does really well because then maybe they'll do a Sega, a Genesis one. Maybe they'll do a Super Nintendo one.
Oh, man.
I imagine they're coming. I'd be blown away if there wasn't a right. Super Nintendo one.
It does suck that you can't add any games, though.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But
if you wanted to add games, then it would just be the Wii U, you know?
Yeah, I get it. I don't know. I almost wish it's like, you know, just like throw on all the games that you can. Or maybe 30 is all the games they can because those are all the ones they have the rights to there, or whatever. Yeah.
And then you know there's going to be an expansion pack. Sure, that you can plug in and that's it'll have 60 more games.
That's why I'm annoyed. I'm like, I know they're holding it back.
Right. And again, it's not for, just like Pokemon Go, it's not for hardcore gamers. It's for, you know, it is for people who remember these games and are like, how can I get these games in as easy amount of, setting it up or whatever, you know, as possible.
I feel like people are just going to hate it though when they actually
really?
Get in there.
No, I think
they're
know.
Gonna eat it'll it up, be a man. Huge hit.
I don't think so. Yeah. I mean, I'm mostly thinking, it's like they might have like one game that they play on there.
Exactly.
But then when they start branching out, they're like, I'm gonna play Ghosts and Goblins. That's like, fuck me, fuck this game. Yeah. And they're just gonna like get frustrated.
I would say this,
keep hitting that wall.
I think the big
complaint already too is no Duck Hunt. People are like, no Duck Hunt.
How are you going to play Duck Hunt without the gun?
That's going to be like the first thing they release is the gun and Duck Hunt for like $10. I was like, yes!
Do I see this as something that people might play 4 or 5 times and then not touch again? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, that's what I'm sure.
This is going to be something that sits on someone's like mantle and it's like, check it out.
Maybe they break it out for parties or
Nintendo system. Oh, cool.
Now, see, the thing that I'm always like in my head, like when I have a child, I will have my regular Nintendo for them to play. Kellen, you got to be thinking.
I am. Trust me, that's
like,
I think
oh my
about
God,
constantly.
I can have my kid play Mario.
And that's the question is like, well, do I start them out with Mario or do I start them out with another game and we work our way backwards that way?
Okay.
That's the sort of question. It's like, I have my classics, but do I want to introduce them to the way that I was raised? Or you say, all right, cool, this is where you are right now, so we'll go this way. And if you want to come back, you can do that, you know?
Yeah. Do you start with Mario or do you start with like Mario 3 or Super Mario, Super Mario World.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, this is maybe arguably the best one, like, that I like the most or whatever, but it's not like the original.
Exactly. Yeah. Or do you take any of those, the Wii Mario games, where it's like a little updated graphics and the same sort of gameplay that way? You know?
Yeah. Those new Super Mario Brothers games?
Yeah, exactly.
Those are great.
And there's aesthetic
Tim,
is such a. Come on, Tim. Those are not games.
I like Galaxy. I like Galaxy.
Tim looked at me in such a way that I thought I was trying to convince him.
Yeah. Come on, Tim.
Come on, Tim. Play a Mario Brothers game.
I feel like if you don't have a connection, like the moment you said Ghouls and Goblins, right?
Ghosts and Goblins.
Like, Clayton and I looked at each other like, shiver. You're like, fuck that game. Fuck that game.
I really hate that game.
Yeah. But, like, we had that experience, and it goes back to nostalgia. And I think about in relation to me raising a child who I want to be able to play video games with, it's like, I don't want to be that dad who's like, come on, son, we're going to play this game. He's like, God, I fucking hate my dad for this, you know? I don't care about Ghosts and Goblins. I want to play Minecraft and go Pokemon Go hunting, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I think there is a big – you have to be into this sort of retro pixelated aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that these are classic games for a reason.
Yeah.
Because they stand the test of time. I don't think you're ever going to pick up Super Mario Brothers 3 and be like, this is a stinker. Like, there's never going to be a moment where, like, we reach that meridian where it's like, nope, this game sucks now.
There's a wide variety of genres, too. Yeah. There's a little bit of everything. Durkin, what do you feel like is missing from this list?
Well, I understand the world that we live in. There's a lot of licensed games that are just not going to be part of Nintendo's thing. Like, anything like that is a movie property or anything.
The Addams Family.
Right, exactly. You're not gonna
Tiny Toons.
Ren and Stimpy.
I mean, there's some, like, there are some games. I made a little list of the things that I still currently play that you're not going to see on there, like Who Framed Roger Rabbit is an insane and terrible game, but I love it because I grew up with it. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the arcade game, and I enjoy 3, The Manhattan Project. That's not going to be on there.
Manhattan Project is so fun.
So I was like, oh, here's a list of like 10 games that I think are just the best games, and they're not going to be on there. Punch-Out is out on there, but I grew up with Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Sure.
Obviously, Mike Tyson's not going to be a part of this thing, and which is a shame because that game is wonderful.
But it's interesting because it's still Nintendo's product. Like, Nintendo has the license for all of these games on the Virtual Console. So,
Yeah, but I would imagine when they made that deal with Mike Tyson, when he was the biggest star on the planet, whoever his agent was probably worked it out that you can't put this out without... I'm sure Mike Tyson nowadays would be like, please put out another Mike Tyson's punch out.
It's probably a big part of it is distribution rights and stuff like that. It's like, this is going to be carried by like all these retail stores and stuff like that that didn't exist before. Mm-hmm. And they're probably not protected under whatever like rights were originally worked out. That's and going back to the bargaining table with like a bunch of lawyers is no fun.
Just redo, was it Punch Out or Mike Tyson's Punch Out like a few years ago?
Yeah, they did. They redid Punch Out, yeah.
Yeah.
And you fight a guy who's clearly like based on Mike Tyson.
Yeah, right.
And he's called like the champ. And it's like, this is weird.
Face Jimmy Boy. I'm very curious about this. I'm not interested in myself. I'm more interested in what the NX is going to be and the hope that, because ultimately I want to collect classic games in a virtual space so I can build a library so I can play these games with my son. Like, I don't need a fixed piece of hardware that is like set that way, you know? Because if I'm going to collect these games, I'm going to collect them.
Yeah, I get that.
I don't need this sort of kind of middle step in the way.
Or it's cool, though. I use so many emulators.
I just download them on my computer and like, that's the only...
It's so easy.
That's what I'm saying. Having the old Nintendo and I still have to take the game out and blow on it and clean it every month and...
Now, Pete, are the controllers wireless?
Well, the picture looks like it's got the ports for them. Uh-huh. I would imagine that they're wireless. Now, the thing that I have, my wife just got me something for Christmas. It is the Hyperkin Retron 3, and it's got the Nintendo, the Genesis, and the Super Nintendo all in one. You put your old cartridges in the thing. You turn the dial to whichever system you want, and that came with wireless controllers.
Nice.
And it was terrible because there was a lag between the controller and the television. However, the machine has the ports for the original controllers, which I happen to still have my controllers. Very you plug cool. them in. Then it becomes like a seamless, like you hit A and your guy jumps. So
I'm curious
to see how that will work because with that other, and admittingly that's a shoddy piece of equipment, but a great piece of equipment. there was that lag, and it was driving me crazy, and I was like, all right, I'm going to plug in my old stuff, and that worked just fine.
Yeah, because, I mean, I guess there's a level of also nostalgia thinking about, like, I don't know if I want to play Super Mario Brothers 3 on a 50-inch screen. I kind of want to play that on a tube TV, having to sit close to it because I'm, you know,
you have to
my,
turn the knobs,
yeah,
too.
Exactly,
yeah,
exactly,
right.
Where it's like, there's something where it's like, if you want to have the nostalgia experience, like, it's not like we're going to, you know, Emporium, former sponsors of
but they're going to be sponsoring us next week.
Oh, good. Oh, good. All right. Thank you for him.
Former and future.
Yes. I just want to make sure.
I know what you mean.
They might be reassessing if the
like,
Knights of
like
the Double Penetration.
It's not like you're going to Emporium and you're playing
Knights of the Double No one actually listens to this show.
But
sponsors are really otherwise.
I know what you mean. Like when I think of really the nostalgia, I think of like my, you know, I'd be playing while my dad would be yelling at me to go to sleep. You know, that's like the ideal nostalgia.
I mean,
that's,
listen,
that's the experience
I can
have
do
with
that
my
for you, Tim. I
can let's plan it out. That.
Yeah, Timothy. Oh boy, it's me, Bob Dunn.
Hey, yeah, that's my dad's name.
That's
you know
all right.
A little bit more Minnesota.
Yeah. Hey, yo. Timothy.
Hey, Dad, I'm like almost about to reach a save slot, so
you're
I will...
You're jacking off in there,
okay,
boy.
Okay, no, I'm not doing that, Dad.
You're jacking off.
Where that's not Minnesotan at all.
I'm from New Zealand, yeah.
Boy.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, it's Britt from Flight of Conchords. Tim,
you're
still jacking
playing
off.
Video games?
This is a lot like my childhood, more and more.
Three New Zealand dads for Tim.
This is our new podcast.
Boy, oh boy.
You know what? There is a lack... I will say there's a lack of, like... Other than Tecmo Bowl, there's a lack of good sport games on there.
Sure.
Like, really no basketball on there, really no baseball, which was surprising.
Were
like,
there baseball or basketball games on the NES?
Yeah, I mean, bases loaded.
Gotta imagine there was like a Larry Bird something on the NES.
Jordan versus Bird, yeah. But yeah, there's no. There was like baseball, which
Skate
was
or
a
die,
Nintendo
that was a good
game.
One. California, sure. California games, those were.
I'm surprised golf wasn't on here.
Yeah.
My dad. You know, when he brought home the Nintendo, he bought himself golf,
game,
and he loved
he
golf.
Got that was for him.
There's also a submarine game that he was crazy about, and it was the most boring piece of game.
We missed one. Balloon Fight is also on here.
Oh, Balloon Fights. Yes. The
you know what? That changes my opinion on this whole thing. Balloon Fight.
You could really just call it what it was back the game.
The beginning of esports, Balloon Fight.
Golf.
Double Dragon 2, The Revenge.
Paperboy's not on there?
That is weird.
There are a lot of classics on there that you'd think would have been on there that are not on there. So
Games I would have loved Chippendale's Rescue Rangers.
Yep.
Or Master Blaster. Those are two of my favorite.
Wasn't there a DuckTales that everybody loves?
The DuckTales is incredible.
NES.
Well, we did the episode about the best video game music. I used the DuckTales songs.
Yes, that's right.
One of my favorite games, and it's an odd one, is the Three Stooges game.
Never played that.
Okay. First off, starts off with the logo of Ghostbusters.
What?
And then the Three Stooges walk on the screen and then go, "Hey, this looks like a kid's game." And the other guy, one goes, "You idiot, we're in the wrong game." And then he slaps him. And my wife is sitting there watching me play this game, and she's like, "What the fuck is this game?
What have I gotten myself into?"
And it's the Three Stooges. They have to raise money to save an orphanage, and you do different tasks to raise money. Pie throwing contest.
Oh, so it's WarioWare.
Yeah, and it's based off of the old.
Great.
It's based off of old Three Stooges episodes where, like, in this one episode, Curly was a boxer and he needed to hear Pop Goes the Weasel or he got his ass beat. So it's crazy. But there is one task that he does. It's a cracker eating contest. And Curly sits and eats crackers out of a bowl. And anytime he goes for a cracker and it sinks, like he doesn't get it, it goes, bah! And that sound keeps happening, and my wife was in the bathroom, like, getting ready or something, and she was like, "Stop playing that."
Carol.
I'm sorry.
Thank you so much, Carol. Big fan. We'll have you on the podcast when you get back.
She'll talk your ear off about Micro Machines for Nintendo.
Ooh, I bought it. Micro Machines, man, that was awesome.
See, and I'd never played it. That's the wonderful thing about talking about, like, the old systems. You didn't have every game, and you didn't even know about every game. Like, there were so many things.
Exactly. Yeah, it was cool, like, top-down, and there was, like, a boat level.
You're in the bathtub.
Yeah, you're in a bathtub. Like, you're just on a table, and you're driving around. Like, imagine if you, like, made your own Micro Machine, like, racetrack.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the premise, so...
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool. Ghostbuster symbol at the beginning of the Three Stooges, that is a nightmare.
Isn't that mind-blowing? Like, it, like, passed for
it's
humor?
It's a great joke. You know?
Ghostbusters must have just come out, right?
I think it's the ghost has the two fingers up, so it might
even
be
better.
Ghostbusters.
So that makes sense why it would be there. Yeah.
That's so funny.
That really, actually, it makes a lot of sense. Ghostbusters 2.
Durkin, I don't want to skip anything if you have other notes.
Oh, no.
Okay.
I had some, because the Hyperkin thing is awesome because you get the other systems on it. That's why I'm playing Super Nintendo right now. The Genesis games that I've rediscovered, Quackshot, Donald Duck is as Indiana Jones.
No.
Yes, it's a wonderful game.
What Indiana Jones movie is it?
It's got to be around Holy Grail.
Okay.
Like a mishmash,
Quackshot.
Probably.
Yes, it's a really good game. Like, genuinely, it's Three Stooges is terrible, but I love it. Roger Rabbit is terrible, but I love it. Quackshot, real good game.
I cannot imagine. Just, I'm trying to think of, like, who was like, you know what the kids will love? A fucking Three Stooges game.
It was just making money, right? Yeah. Like, that's all...
I mean, it was just license everything.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
Just
whatever.
Like, if it was a popular thing, that's going to sell more than like some Japanese game that they brought over.
Yeah.
Oh,
man. Amazing.
Yeah. Like, Godzilla sold like crazy, and it's a terrible game.
But if you made a game called like Giant Lizard, it would not do as well as Godzilla.
Yeah, Rampage probably like didn't do as well as like the licensed versions
until
of that.
People started playing.
But it's like
a way better
game. Yeah,
yeah.
We were talking a little bit about this before. The Angry Video Game Nerd made that movie, and he had the guy from Walking Dead do the soundtrack to it, and he redoes the nerd theme. But the guy is really musically talented, and he does, like, the first part of the song sounds like a Nintendo game, the second part sounds like Sega, and the third part sounds like Super Nintendo.
Oh, that's cool.
And I was like, oh, what were some of the good Genesis soundtracks? And Road Rash, if you remember that game, it was a motorcycle game.
Yeah. Oh.
Listen to that, like, music while I was at work, and it is like bitchingly good music. Like, yeah, I want to go. I don't want to own a motorcycle. I just want to go play a video game that has motorcycles.
Speed metal. Yeah,
I am gonna look it up on Spotify right now.
It's the opening title song is pretty sweet.
Yeah, play Overwatch while listening to it. Road Rash.
You want to play it for the audience at home?
I wasn't playing to, but I could probably try.
Well, we've tantalized them, their earlobes so much.
I'm sure.
While we're doing that.
I don't think this is going to work, but we'll try.
Durkin, any other thoughts on this new product?
I think it's great. You know, anything to bring back those classic things and maybe reintroduce them to a younger audience is always a great thing. And like,
sorry, I found it.
And the other thing, too, is, like, we're talking about little kids and games and, like, what are you going to introduce them to? This is not what I was thinking of.
Might not
this
be.
Is somebody doing it.
Road Rash theme.
Oh, that's funny.
Like, also, my phone is, like, super jacked up right now.
But, like, the idea, like, games can be really intimidating, like, the graphics and, like, oh, my God, how can little kids' brains handle this stuff? But Super Mario Brothers, the rolling screen and, like, that's blue and that's green and you'd get coins and it's like simple and like sometimes things are too complicated, like things that are really good and the graphics are so good, it's too complicated and you lose a little bit of like the joy of simplicity. So I think it's a great thing.
Relative though, isn't it? Because I mean, I feel like at the time when those games came out, I remember looking at Ocarina of Time and we're like blown the fuck away.
Right.
Like,
I think it depends. Yeah, I think it depends on just growing up with these things. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, because we didn't grow up with, like, Skyrim. No. I can't imagine.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like lately, in terms of bringing all this stuff back, I feel like I've had to stop judging this nostalgia stuff as much, because when we got a new Star Wars, I was like, okay, I'm no better than the people that want to go to the Saved by the Bell restaurant. Like, you take the good with the bad.
And everything goes through that nostalgia period.
Yeah.
Like, movies go through it. Wrestling goes through it. Like, literally, everything is all of a sudden like, oh, yeah, hey, remember this?
Yeah.
Every 10 years, you get something like that. And
right.
I love it.
And just keep an eye on it, folks. Ska and swing bands are coming back. They're coming back hard.
Never meant to knock on wood.
Okay. Durkin, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, guys, this was great.
Of course.
Great time.
Do you have anything?
Here you go. Here's the Road Rash song.
That's it.
I mean, that kicks ass. Like, and that's just the opening, like, press start.
Yeah. Durkin, anything you want to plug? I don't know, even your wife's shows out in Colorado? In
oh, yeah, hey, if you're in Grand Lake, Colorado, you could go see Carol Rose's Ursula the Sea Witch in The Little Mermaid. You know what? I'll plug the place that, am I okay to plug the place where I buy my games?
Of course.
On Clark, People Play Games.
Love it.
Right up the street from Chicago.
Even if you don't have a Nintendo or something old like that, go in there. It's a really cool little spot. Their prices are reasonable. And they have like the box art for old Nintendo and Genesis games and stuff like that. And it's just wonderful to go down that memory lane, even to just window shop, you know?
Clayton, you want to explain what just happened?
I accidentally hit my headphones. I just raised my hand up to scratch my head, and I accidentally hit my headphones. I got looked at like I fucking just walked into a funeral wearing an I'm with stupid t-shirt or something, which recently happened to me at my grandmother's funeral. No.
Clayton, what do you have to plug?
I will tell you the story of my grandmother's funeral because it's fucking crazy. But in the meantime, let me plug Late 90s Wednesdays at 10:30 at I.O. In the Del Close Theater. That's a great show. Been going on for a while now. Come check that out. But also, I'm in Desert Cool.
Oh, yeah.
Just opened last week. We got reviewed, and the reviewer wrote verbatim what happens in the plot.
I think I've had that reviewer before.
Classic review.
No, and it's up to your imaginations to like figure out if you think this sounds good.
They don't
or
even
like
say good or bad at all.
Yeah, they
right?
don't say the acting is good, and no judgment is passed, which I'm like, I guess I appreciate.
That's
but
hilarious.
Also, you spoiled the entire plot. Whatever. I guess I don't know how print media works anymore. So, but Desert Cool, that's Fridays at 8:30 at I.O. in the Chris Farley Cabaret. Yeah, we just opened last week, and we're running for 5 more weeks. So
nice,
come check
nice.
That out.
Very nice.
Callan.
Ho! Oh, that's me. come to the Dead Boy Scout musical at The Annoyance. We officially open this Saturday, 8 o'clock at The Annoyance Theater. I would also tell you to go out to the Forest Park Forest Preserve and see my art installation, Welcome Humans. But we are informed this week that all three of the signs we put up in the Forest Preserve have gone missing.
No!
It's okay.
I mean, that does mean people liked them,
right? That means
right?
that people liked them. And at some point later on in life, like someone might have this on their
That's
wall.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
That's where I was in high school and we went. Close to Forest Park, we used to drink in those woods.
Oh, yeah. And it's a great woods to drink in. When we were setting it up, we ran into a lot of young kids. We were getting high, and we got that.
Sure.
So, you know, we either imagined it was some kids or it was some, like, angry, almost divorced mom was in the woods, and she saw the sign. And, like, she goes home, and underneath her mattress that, you know, her and her husband, like, don't sleep in the same room anymore. Like, that sign is Welcome Humans is underneath, and she's like, I'm going to get out of here.
I mean, I love that idea.
That idea.
I think it's high school kids.
Oh, it's probably high school kids, though. It's probably high
or
school kids.
A mischievous co-host on this show.
Oh.
I'm talking about Tim.
Tim Dunn. Where can people find you?
He's got it under the desk. He's reaching for it.
Folks, if you're going to be at Gen Con, come to Concert Against Humanity. Go to concertagainsthumanity.com. To buy tickets, that's me with the shock tees, Eugene Merman and Jonathan Colton. It's going to be a good show. I think that's everything. Durkin, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, guys, thanks for having me on.
Of course. Clayton, take us out with one of your catchphrases.
I've got it. Again. Didn't Bye. The other week I say I've got it?
Bye, everybody.
Absolutely, yes. Oh, God.
Two catchphrases start the same way? That's terrible.
This has been a Nerdalogs production. If you'd like to help make more things like this, please visit patreon.com/nerdalogs to donate today, and go to www.nerdalogs.com for more cool stuff. Thanks for being awesome.
Thank you all. I am GrabBot23548X.